We had a really good discussion yesterday on the show about what to do with the Deshaun Watson situation. And Willie was trying to give a lot of trade options, and some of them a little bit goofy and unreasonable, just to see how far I would keep saying no. But we had a lot of fun.
I think you enjoyed telling me no, is really what it came down to.
No, I mean, at some point I told you, like, you're going so far. Like, I would be silly.
Well, I started at one end thinking, okay, this is a starting point, but this is how negotiations work, right? If you play fantasy football, you do that kind of thing from time to time.
Yeah. Well, let's find out exactly what's real and what's fake by going down to Houston. By the way, our show is brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey. Smoother than smooth. Former Arkansas and Nashville Cat quarterback Clint Sterner on the line with us. Does sports radio down in Houston on 610. Clint, how you doing? Good afternoon.
Man, I'm doing well. Good afternoon to you guys, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. Look, I'm going to be totally honest. I'm not going to be phony and fake about it. You know, nobody's really crying in Nashville about what we're seeing and watching go play out in your market right now, because the Texans have won division titles and they've been successful and they've got a special quarterback and they're in the Titans division. So I guess everything we've been hearing from afar, how serious really is this whole Deshaun Watson situation?
Well, I think it's definitely a serious situation. I think, you know, the organization, ownership, Cal McNair, Jack Easterby, those guys have allowed this, what I think was really just a small misunderstanding, maybe a small amount of distrust, you know, I think from the locker room to the front office and definitely between Deshaun Watson and the front office that was based off of a couple of, I think, hasty decisions maybe. And they've let that, turn into some major issues, and they've let that turn into some things that may be a little bit bigger than the Houston Texans, and it's unfortunate. But when the national media grabs onto something, boy, it could really turn into something so much bigger than the original problem. And they're real. That's the thing, is it's not just media hype. It's not just national media driving a certain narrative. They turn into real problems, and when you put all of that together, Deshaun Watson is at the center of it, and it's unfortunate, but right now Houston is at the very least, and to put it nicely, in a very dysfunctional state, and it's hard to win the offseason, it's hard to win the draft, it's hard to win the head coach hire when you're wallowing in that dysfunction. So it's unfortunate, but it's where they sit, and I think it is, guys. It's a major problem in Houston right now.
Mm. You brought up Cal McNair. Of course, we know who that is, but I keep hearing, you know, this name Easterby, and I got to be honest, you brought him up. I don't know anything about this guy. What is his role, and why do I keep hearing his name and kind of playing a part in all of this?
Well, I can't answer. I don't think anybody can answer the question of what his role is. I mean, everybody from Nick Caserio at this point to Cal McNair have been asked that question, and what specific skill set he brings to the table. And I think one of the biggest problems is that nobody has yet to answer that question. It's a lot of moving and shaking, ducking and dodging when asked about Jack Easterby. And there's been a lot of things written about Jack Easterby. I don't know if you guys have read the two Sports Illustrated articles that were put out by some of the best at Sports Illustrated. I think if you read those articles, I think it's safe to say, and I'll say with a pretty good amount of confidence, that a lot of what's mentioned in those articles is true. And when you have that going on inside your organization, and particularly with one individual, and that individual, with every move that's made, whether it's a DeAndre Hopkins trade or the Bill O'Brien firing or the Brian Gain firing before the GM, that the guy that seems to be in the middle of all of that in one way, shape, or form is Jack Easterby. And the guy that ends up gaining power when the decisions are made to let go of other individuals is Jack Easterby. And it appears to be at this point in time that he's the right hand man of the owner, and I'm not real sure how exactly he got there, and I know there's and I can say this with a pretty good amount of confidence, that there is a serious trust issue between Deshaun Watson and really more so the locker room in Houston and the front office, and I think that stems from Jack Easterby and some of the things that he did with Bill O'Brien and then as an interim GM after Bill O'Brien left. And we all know that if there's trust issues between the locker room and the coaching staff or the locker room and the front office, once again, we get back to that dysfunctional state, and it's hard to win in this league when that's the case.
Well, we know the two biggest names and the two biggest voices on that Texans roster is the quarterback that we're talking about in Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt was pretty vocal on the second-to-last game of the season after the loss to home to Cincinnati, calling out, I guess, some of his teammates on the Zoom call in the postgame presser. So I guess I'll go there. Where's J.J. Watt in all of this? Does he feel the same as Deshaun Watson and kind of what you just described in the lack of trust between the locker room and the front office? Or where's J.J. Watt in this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, I'll use J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson, but ultimately those two guys are the face of the organization and the voice of the locker room. And there's definitely an increased level of distrust between him and the organization for dang sure. And really, again, it stems from Jack Easterby. Jack Easterby's the one that's been there that when he took that interim GM role, was involved with the team a lot more so than most GMs would be. And look, I mean, here's the deal. I think J.J. Watt's played his last snap in Houston. I think if you look at what Nick Caserio, where he came from and what they believe in New England is you get an aging player that has a lot of no guaranteed money, but a big number, $17.5 million on his contract next year. He's probably got 2 or 3 years left of value in this league. If you can move that guy for draft capital, then New England, that's been one of their trademarks in the past. I would fully expect J.J. Watt to move on. One, because I think he realizes the organization is not doing things in a championship fashion and he's on borrowed time. But two, most more importantly, Nick Caserio comes from a place where that's just how they handle aging athletes. And so I think J.J. Watt is definitely frustrated. He's definitely in a place where he doesn't trust any that the front office, Cal McNair all the way down. And I think he sees the writing on the wall. So I would expect J.J. to probably speak out on the topics we're discussing right now sooner rather than later, knowing that his days are numbered in Houston more than likely.
Clint Sterner is with us. We're breaking down the Houston situation. So, Clint, it's easy for us up here to come up with trades. What would you trade for Watson? Do you think they're really considering it, or are they sitting there going, we just got to fix this. We cannot trade Deshaun Watson?
Well, I think they're doing both if they're smart, right? I mean, ultimately, I think Deshaun Watson is one of, I don't know, 5 or 6 players in this league that have NBA player power to where he could force his way out even though he's got a contract and even though that new CBA makes it really difficult to do. I think the organization has to move forward in a way of you know, him sitting and holding out or even playing disgruntled is not getting this organization anywhere closer to a championship. And so I think you got to move forward knowing you're dealing with really, I would say, a top 3 quarterback in this league. And I say that because obviously you're not taking Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or Drew Brees over him. If a draft happened today, the kid's 25 years old. So if you really look at the value of Deshaun Watson, his age is a big factor. You're looking at a guy that's got 10 years of really, really high-level football that gives you a chance to win championships. So, yeah, you move forward and you hope to repair the relationship and get things right in the locker room, and you hope you do that with Deshaun Watson. But I think there is a line that has to be drawn to where it's out of the Texans' control. If Deshaun Watson wants to push him to that level, then they've got to be prepared and they've got to be willing to move him at some point in time if it does get to that point. Now it's obviously all up to Deshaun Watson and what him and his representation thinks is best for him, but the Texans to sit on their hands and not be prepared when that happens, I think would be foolish.
What is the price? If you're sitting in the office and they come to you and say, Clint, here's the offer on the table, what does it have to be for you to say, okay, I don't think I can pass this up? Is it 3 first-round picks? Is that the ballpark? What do you think?
Well, I mean, it depends. It's not just 3 first-round picks in itself. No, I mean, I think you got to add a superstar to that group. I think it's 3 first-round picks and an experienced, proven star on either side of the football, probably on the defensive side of the football. But I think that's where you hope to land. I mean, I think if you're the Texans, I mean, you start big. I mean, ask for 5 first round picks, and if you end up getting 4, you did a great job. If you end up settling, you get 3, right? I think that's the power of Deshaun Watson. I really do think, guys, that he is. I think organizations, I think football minds, I think coaches out there are going to look up and go, man, we got an opportunity to get one of the top, I would say 2, him and Pat Mahomes are the 2 guys I think that are that the NFL entire landscape is convinced are Super Bowl caliber quarterbacks for the next, I don't know, 8 to 10 years. I think in the coaching world, if those guys go, hey, we got a legitimate shot to get this guy, I think they'll give up more than you and I would think. So, yeah, 3 first rounds sounds good. I would hope to get 4, but I would damn sure start a lot higher than that in hopes to that once you get through negotiating, you can settle on 3 or 4 first-round picks plus a star.
Clint Sterner is with us, Sports Radio 610 down in Houston. And so as we discuss what the roster is going to look like here in, you know, for the next few years – I think the other part of the question is who's going to be the head coach on the sideline. As Romeo Crennel, I thought, did a admirable job of trying to hold things together when Bill O'Brien was let go. But are you hearing anything? Are they any closer to hiring their next head coach?
I don't know that they're any closer, guys. I mean, they're in this holding pattern after interviewing, I guess, 4 guys. What was it, Sunday? Which is Leslie Frazier, David Culley, Eric Bieniemy, and Matt Eberflus. And I think they're in a holding pattern right now, given the fact that Eric Bieniemy is still in the playoffs and you can't hire him. And what do? You go out and offer the guy he accepts, and then he pulls a Josh McDaniels like Josh McDaniels did in Indy a couple of years ago, 2-3 years ago. Obviously, you don't want to be put in that position. That would be a sign of more dysfunction and more poor decisions in the front office by Houston. So I think they're in a holding pattern. Look, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't hire Matt Eberflus in the next few days, but I also wouldn't be surprised at all if we didn't hear anything out of the front office and they wait until Eric Bieniemy is legitimately available and can in a position to accept the job officially before offering him. So I hope they go the Eric Bieniemy route. I think that's the best fit in Houston. Look, guys, there's no doubt they need a coach. They need a coach. I don't know if they need a coach like Dan Campbell, who went in there in Detroit and was talking about biting kneecaps off. But they definitely need a coach to come in here. And I mean this when I say it, guys. I mean, I've been around a lot of coaching changes. It's not a good thing, but I've been around a lot of coaching changes. And when there's dysfunction at the top, the way there is in Houston, they need a guy to come in here that number 4 believes in. And he needs to, this guy needs to be able to lock arms with the locker room. Shut the door behind him in the locker room. Tell the front office, hey, y'all stay out of my locker room. Stay off my sideline. Y'all do front office things. I'll handle the football things from here on out. And I think Eric Bieniemy is the guy that's rough enough around the edges, that's confident enough, that genuinely and sincerely, that's probably how he would handle this situation. I think that's the best fit in Houston. And my hopes are they wait him out until Kansas City loses and they officially offer.
So am I hearing this right? Because I was literally about to ask you about Eric Bieniemy. We just went to Kansas City, and I asked why he wasn't a head coach yet. Do you believe, though, Clint, if he gets that job, that he can be the one to smooth things over with Deshaun and Deshaun then ends up staying?
I don't think he takes the job without smoothing things over with Deshaun. I think he'd be crazy to take the job at this point in time, if he doesn't speak to Deshaun first and Deshaun Watson assures him that he's in the boat with him and he's got a paddle and he's rowing. You know, I mean, I don't think he takes the job. That's one reason why, I'm going to be really excited if that announcement ever does come out, because I do believe that means that there's been a conversation had and Deshaun Watson is going to be in a Houston Texans uniform next year. Yes, I do. I think he's the guy. I think all these coaches are a roll of the dice, right? We never know, what they're capable of doing or what they're. The reason they're not a head coach right now is because they have been before and failed, or they haven't proven that they can do it at this point in time. So, it's a roll of the dice. But I do believe that Eric Bieniemy. I'm more confident that Eric Bieniemy is a good head coach. I'm more confident of that than I am that he's a good play caller. I don't think it matters that he calls plays or not in Kansas City, and it shouldn't matter. But I feel the way I feel about Eric Bieniemy is when I hear him speak, I hear head coach, I hear a leader of men, I hear a genuine, sincere personality that will absolutely work in an NFL locker room. I hear a guy that can overcome adversity. 20 years in the NFL, you don't, 8 as a player, 12 as a coach, you don't last that long without some serious experience in dealing with adversity. I just think he's the right guy for the job, and I do think that if he does get hired, he's already had a conversation with Deshaun Watson, and I think Deshaun's in and will be a Houston Texan if that's the case.
Wow, really good stuff. Clint, appreciate the conversation. As always, we'll be keeping an eye on things and see how it all shakes out in Houston, but we'll do it again soon.
You got it, man. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Clint Sterner, Sports Radio 610 down in Houston. There's a lot going on in the AFC South, but especially down in Houston. We'll have much more coming as we wrap up the third hour of the show. But first, Willie, tell us about Lee Company.
Lee Company, 567-1000 is the number to remember. Lee Company, of course, Predator season resumes tomorrow in Dallas. The team heading down to Big D. It'll be the first game of the year for the Dallas Stars. And Lee Company will be right along with us as they have been for years. Big sponsor of the Nashville Predators, and we're proud of that. Lee Company also does great work. We subscribe to their home maintenance plan here in the Donick House, have for a long, long time, and it's worked for us. It's very, very simple. When you're part of the home maintenance plan, you can more or less put it on autopilot because they're going to stay on top of it for you. They're going to call you once a year to check the following systems: air conditioning, heating, plumbing, electrical. 4 systems every year. They'll schedule the checkup. They'll make the recommendations. And if and when you need the repairs, you'll get discounts on those repairs. It's a great system. It's going to find small problems before they become big problems. And down the road, you're going to save money because of it. Lee Company. It's the home maintenance plan. Small monthly fee, $8-$9 a month, and you're in. Tell them we sent you for sure. Go to LeeCompany.com and read more about it, or give them a call, 615-567-1000. Lee Company, proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators.